Welcome to A World of Good podcast. I'm Nate Tapman.
And I'm Andrew Gale.
And we are two friends
who love Jesus,
care about the church,
and travel the world to share stories of people who do the same.
Our conversations happen in all kinds of places.
Like a coffee shop in an airport terminal.
Or even the back of a crowded taxi.
But no matter where we go, from Argentina to Zimbabwe,
we capture stories of the good God is doing around the world.
And we hope those stories will do you a world of good. Welcome to A World of Good podcast. My name is Andrew Gale, and I'm here with my good friend, Nate Tapman. This is a special episode where we just want to talk a little bit about what's been happening in the part of the world where you serve, Nate, over there in Europe, and especially in Eastern Europe. And so we wanted to share, since this past week when Russia invaded Ukraine, there has been so much that's been happening. And a lot of people have been asking about people that are a part of our church family, and what they're experiencing and what's happening on the ground. And so Nate and I felt like it would be a great opportunity for us to talk about what's happening on the ground, to try to connect in, to give some updates, and to just give some perspective of where we are today in the midst of this. So this is an out of series podcast episode, just giving you an update on what's happening in Ukraine and in Russia. So Nate, you're currently still in Madrid, but you actually had plans to try to travel recently that have all been canceled due to so much that's been going on.
Yeah, so we are in Madrid. I did have the opportunity to travel to Germany a couple of days ago, I was supposed to travel to Russia and work with the local church there in Russia at the end of this month. Obviously, that is no longer going to happen. But yeah, this has been all-consuming for us as we continue to navigate this new life and new role that we're living in. And every time I am stressed and frustrated and just like, man, I just need to turn the news off. I think about our brothers and sisters in Ukraine and what they're facing right now and just cannot even imagine what it is that they're going through and the pressure and the stress that they're under.
Yeah. And we definitely want you to share some of those updates. But I think it's also important to say that as we talk about this, people may either notice that we pause or are thinking, because in some ways we want to be careful exactly what we say, right? Because there's some protections that we want to give to those that we're connected to. So we're going to not share names. We're not going to share locations and specifics. And we're going to be reluctant to share too many details just because of the security issues. At the same time, we wanted to give some kind of a picture of what's going on for people in the United States who, you know, are fairly disconnected maybe from what's actually happening on the ground. But to say that you've been intimately involved and engaged and in conversation on a daily basis through texting and phone conversations with people on the ground in Ukraine. And so you have had a firsthand view of what's been happening. And again, not just from the news, but literally from the people who are experiencing it, who are talking about hearing the bombings and the shellings and the things that are going on.
Yeah. And just to be clear, I've never been to Ukraine. I had hoped to travel there and visit the churches on the ground there, the pastors. I'm not an expert on geopolitical matters by any means, and simply just interested and walking alongside the local church in Ukraine and in Russia as well. And we'll get into that a little bit as we've had some communication with the church in Russia. But there's a pastor in central Ukraine who he is pastoring the largest church there, largest Church of God in Ukraine. There's several around the country, or at least there were several around the country. He grew up in the Church of God. He grew up in a congregation on the eastern part of Ukraine that has been invaded. And in fact, his father was still pastoring there. And last week they had to go and help evacuate his family and his father. And I doubt the church is still going on there. I don't think there are any other leaders who are able to take over. But so that's who I've been primarily in communication with. There's also a pastor from Germany who has helped start the Church of God in Ukraine and been in some communication with him, maybe once or twice a week. But with the pastor in Ukraine, it has been pretty much a daily communication with him and just figuring out what he's doing that day, where he has to go, who he's talking to, how can we pray for him. And just yesterday he told me that he was sick. He had a high fever, had a high temperature, and it was a day where they were going around to collect all the items that they needed. Oh my. So also within his church, he has a youth leader who speaks very good English, and she has a message for the church in the U.S. that we are going to share at the end of this episode, and we'll set that up before we play it.
You know, this is a really complex issue, you know, and it's complex from a geopolitical perspective, but it's also complex even as if you get as granular as our experience in the Church of God, because, you know, we have churches in Ukraine, but we also have churches in Russia.
Yeah.
And so, you know, part of the conversation that I've been having with people is how we talk about what's happening in Ukraine, because many of the people that we're connected to in Russia aren't happy with what's happening either. So we have to be cautious to say that, you know, mm-hmm. the Russians are invading versus, I mean, maybe be more specific, you know, it's the Russian government. You know, that there are so many people, mm-hmm. we've seen the protests, so many Russians who are not happy with what's currently happening right now, or were unaware of what the actions, you know, by their leadership were intending with this invasion.
Yeah. And to your point, Andrew, what I've seen in the news over here is videos of Russian soldiers surrendering and commenting on they didn't realize what they were doing. Yep. They were told that they were going in for training, and then from training, they were going into the Ukraine for various reasons other than an invasion and taking over. And so they, under those false pretenses, they were doing what they were ordered to do, but once they realized what was happening, they've surrendered. And again, this isn't obviously widespread, but certain battalions or platoons.
Yeah, I saw an article about that today too, where a Russian military personnel surrendered and was actually cared for by Ukrainians. The picture was of them giving him tea and giving him food, and they were letting him call his family back in Russia so that he could connect in with them and tell them. What a powerful story of compassion in the midst of incredible tragedy.
Yep. And you know, going back to the church in Russia as well, you know, these are leaders and people who know each other, connect with one another, fellowship, meet for annual conferences and all of that. And so,
they had an upcoming conference, right? I mean, they had a conference, I think, that was coming
supposed
up.
To be one in June, and that's just kind of on hold for right now. Not knowing what the future holds for the next few months. So, our interest here on this episode is really what is happening in the local church, and, you know, putting myself in the shoes of the local church, what do you do? How do you respond? How can you respond? How should you respond during a crisis like this? And one of the things that that this church in central part of Ukraine is doing is they are really becoming a refuge for their community, for their town, and even some people from around the country who have been displaced now. They have their own building, and so they're able to house people.
Yeah.
Feed people, give them basic provisions, some short term, some long term. Again, we don't know what that means in this moment, but some of them are making their way across Ukraine and hopefully to become, in their minds, hopefully to become refugees as they go into Poland and other neighboring countries. Some are going to be internally displaced people and just trying to move as far away from the conflict as possible. But this church has become a refuge inside this city. Right now, and again, we can link this in the show notes, but right now, anything that is given to the disaster relief fund of Global Strategy and the Church of God is going to help not just this church, but the other churches as well throughout Ukraine, as they provide food, fuel, water, housing, medication is a big issue as well, for for internally displaced people. And as well, as the time comes, again, it's too soon to really know. Plans haven't really been formalized, but also for refugees who have had to leave Ukraine. One of the things that has happened, and again, you may have heard this in the news already, but Ukrainian men between the ages of 18 and 60 cannot leave the country. And again, on the news over here, we're seeing lots of scenes where fathers, husbands are saying goodbye to their family at the train station, at the bus station, at the border, not knowing when they're going to see each other again, or if they're ever going to be able to return to Ukraine. And, and oftentimes, at least most of the stories that I've heard and read, you know, those fathers, after they say goodbye, they are going to volunteer for the Ukrainian military. And so it's just, it's heartbreaking. It's heart-wrenching. And at the same time, you know, this is not there's not an easy solution, but at the same time, in this complexity that you talked about, the church, is being a light in their community, and able to provide some housing, and some of the people are volunteering in the local hospital. They're also bringing, some of the injured soldiers, to this, town. And so they are volunteering in the hospitals and also just trying to see what the needs are. If there are people who haven't been able to leave, if they have needs for these provisions as well, they may not be staying at the church, but out in the community.
Wow.
And you'll hear on the audio message as well, that there are just some people who are afraid. They're not going anywhere, but they're afraid to be home alone. And they've found refuge in the church as well. And so, in this season of darkness, in this time of darkness, it's very inspiring to me, at least, that the church is a light in the community, is able to talk with people, pray with people, provide resources for people as well.
And I'm also grateful to see that in the midst of this difficulty, that the church around the world is connecting with one another. Yeah. And one of the ways that I see that is how relationships that are built in times of peace, in times of when things are going well, those are the relationships that then become so vital when things go wrong. And so I think about, like, you know, for Global Strategy, Church of God Ministries, we sent funds to Ukraine to try to support the church there. And we did that just before the invasion happened. But after the invasion, we weren't able to really get those funds there. And so because we have a close relationship with the Church of God in Germany, because there is already a great synergy with the churches there in Europe, in the Middle East, we were able then to work with Germany to get funds into Ukraine. And so now all of our disaster relief funds are actually going through the German church, and they're able to get it on the ground so that we can make sure our churches are getting food and water and fuel and provisions. And I think that will continue as this refugee crisis that is impending, is possible in the future, as that begins to unfold. I think that, again, because we have this relationship, because we've already, the United States and Global Strategy has already worked with Germany in refugee resettlement when the Syrians were there, we have an opportunity to, again, talk about what does it look like for this region that's connected to support, you know, one of its countries that's experiencing incredible turmoil in this moment. And so, not that that's a good thing to celebrate, you know, but I am grateful that there's able to be collaboration in the midst of these difficult moments, but that happens because we spend the time developing those relationships even before.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you brought up the German Church of God, and we continue to collaborate with them, and,
yes,
and, especially through the funding, getting the funds into Ukraine, the Hungarian Church, they have stepped up as well, continue to, have close connections with people in Ukraine, as well as, with Germany and others, but just that the network of the Church of God here in Europe, where these other churches outside of Ukraine are stepping up and saying, hey, we're willing to host, we're willing to give. How can we help out? You know, there's a young family who, again, the dad had to stay behind in Ukraine, and the mother is traveling with two boys. And so everybody's trying to figure out how, when and how and where is she How can we host her? Where can we host her? And so, just the support, you know, that's happening within the network of the Church of God. There's
that's incredible.
A young pastor, a young family, in Bulgaria, who the wife is from Ukraine and her family's from Ukraine. And she's lost a cousin, through this, in the eastern part of Ukraine, and hasn't been able to have communication with the family. And so, just to be there, you know, in those instances, just to send them messages and send them our love and prayer, and support and encouragement, along the way. You know, it's heartbreaking to go through this. And it's, you know, our mission, as Global Strategy is to walk alongside the local church globally. And we're just trying to figure out how to do that in a time like this. How do we walk alongside the local church?
Yeah.
How can we walk alongside the local church globally, when we can't be there, physically with them to walk alongside? How can we do that from Spain and from Germany, from the U.S.? I do know, because they've communicated over and over again how appreciative they are for our prayers, for our encouragement. When they hear about other churches and other people praying for them, they're so appreciative of it, and love to hear those messages. And so just continue to pray. If you're able to, continue to give funds. Again, this first phase is really just trying to help the church, within Ukraine to be a light in their community and in their country. The next phase will probably be for those refugees who have left, and how can we come alongside of them during this time as they redefine what their life looks like in another country, and not knowing if this is a permanent move or a temporary move or what.
Before we go on to this audio clip where we get to hear from someone on the ground and share those prayer, more of those prayer requests that you're alluding to, if somebody wants to get more information, how do they do that? Would they contact you? What's the best way for them to connect in?
I think the best way is just to continue to follow Global Strategy on their social media, platforms, Facebook, and Twitter. Still trying to get Global Strategy to get on Instagram, but that's okay. Maybe some other time that'll happen. And also, our team in Europe and Middle East is known as the Three Worlds team. And so our Facebook, handle, if you will, is Three Worlds Chog. And you can find us on, and it's the number three W, Chog. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Trying to not every day, are we posting on there, but as much as information is given that we are able to share, especially when it comes to prayer requests and just kind of what's happening within the church there, we'll try to update those, as often as we can.
And if you go to the Jesus is the Subject Disaster Relief page, at the very top, you'll see a thing that says Ukraine updates, and any new article that gets written will get posted there. You can click there and get more information there as well. With that, Nate, do you want to set up this audio and tell us what we're hearing and just give us some context for this audio clip?
Yeah. So I invited the pastor, just to send an audio message, to play on this episode. And I just simply asked him three questions. What's happening in their city? What is the church doing, and how can we pray for them? And, he speaks English, but he's not confident in speaking English. And so he asked, his youth leader in the church, actually, who, is an English translator. It's one of the things that she does. And so she has given us, this audio message. They collaborated together in what they wanted to say, but, really this is for, the United States church, to listen to and just to kind of get updated on what's happening there, as well as how to pray for them and for this crisis.
Hello, this is the latest update from our church and from all the people who are a part of it. Now we know we're hometown. Thanks God, everything is... Everything is calm. We've only had from 5 to 6 explosions when our planes were defending our city from the drones. Our city hasn't been bombed, and thanks to our brave soldiers who are protecting our borders and our neighbor regions that we have. Our city is like one big massive provision because people are so gathered together and they're collecting things. We are accepting the runners from other cities. We're accepting the injured soldiers. Now they are in our hospitals and there are going to be more. Our church is accepting the runners and the people who left home, and they're coming to us. And also our church is helping, and our door is open to people who are coming to find protection and who are afraid to sleep alone and they have no one at their home place, so they can come to someone, they can talk to them, they can help with something and spend time together. A lot of people from our church are doing different things all around the city. There is a group which was organized by a couple people in our church, and they are helping especially to mothers, kids. They're helping in social work. They're helping. They're looking how to help in the hospitals, and they're waiting for new injured soldiers to come in to give their hands, to give their time to help, to do whatever is needed there to be done. These 7 days we've lived like couple of lives, and we are praying first of all for the church to stay sober and not to sink into fear, into hate, into all the emotions that are widespread everywhere. And we feel everything together, in love, in hate, and sadness, and kindness. So for Holy Spirit to divide all these feelings, pray for the safety of our hometown, so our town can be the place where people can come. So we will not spend time to for defending ourselves, but we will just accept people and show them love. You can pray against the spiritual war that is going on, because it's not only the physical part, the spiritual war against the government and the political leaders of the Russia, so they can be defeated. And so that God will just stand between those two countries completely. We've already seen and we've already read about hundreds of miracles which happen with our soldiers just because the church is praying and people are praying all the time. Pray for our youth, for them not to be hateful, for them to share hope, for them to share love. And there are some funny stuff, some humor that helps us to get through it, and just pray for that not to become something mixed up with anger, but to stay positive, to stay kind, to stay in love, and pray for all people who've lost their homes, for their lives to be restored as much as they could, and pray for all the church leaders around our country, around Russia, for them not to be quiet, for them to speak the truth, and for them to be good leaders for their people, and to be God's word defenders, and to be defenders in people's hearts and souls and bodies. We want just to thank everyone for helping and for donating, for us to be able to buy everything we need, to provide the people that are staying in church and accepting people with food, with provision, with ever needed equipment. So may God bless you a lot, and thank you for your input, physical and spiritual, and thank you for asking us, and thank you for texting us. This is really really valuable. May God be with you, and we hope that we're going to see each other very soon.